Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and shout. Glory to God. If it makes you want to shout, just go ahead. Just help yourself. Just shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, some of you can do better than that. Just shout. Shout. Don't you feel better all over now? Amen. You know, sometimes you got to shout. You know, one of the reasons why you got to shout is to drown out the thoughts that are pounding in your mind. You got to shout loud enough that you can't hear those thoughts anymore. So somebody ought to shout a little louder. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! Sometimes you just got to let the devil know. I said, sometimes you just got to let the devil know. He's messing around with your stuff. You know, one day I was getting ready, had my Bibles, carried them out into the car, and I heard some scratching on the street behind me, and I turned around, and two dogs, a German Shepherd and a Rottweiler, were right coming after me. They saw breakfast. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I didn't have time to jump on the car hood, get in the car, or anything. I turned around and I said, "Ah!" Those dogs took off running. That's how you got to treat the devil. Shout! Shout! Let the devil know you got the victory. Hallelujah! Yeah! Yeah! You know, you can shout your way out of a lot of things. You can shout your way out of circumstances. You can shout your way out of sickness and disease. You can shout your way out from bondage and captivity. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you'll dare to raise your voice, listen to me, you can walk in the things of God. But you got to open your mouth. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 While you're shouting here, God's doing something wherever you need it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on now. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. You know, one of the things you said, well, what was that all about? Well, you know, sometimes when you get to your house, you know, and the temperature's not where it needs to be, you go over to the thermostat and you dial it up a little bit or wherever, you get it where it needs to be. That's what we were doing right there. We're getting the temperature to the right setting. Getting the temperature the right setting. Did you know there's a spiritual temperature? There is a spiritual temperature. There's a spiritual atmosphere that can be set by what we do. And that's very important that we need to realize that. And so we'll hopefully get to some of that a little bit tonight. But you can turn to John chapter 16, verse 13. I guess we'll start there. And I was reminded as I started talking about the Holy Spirit tonight again. You said, well, you going to talk about the Holy Spirit again tonight? I know that I sound like a broken record in some sense of the word. But you know what? The only way I know how to get somebody to moving in excellence is repetition. That's even athletes, even though they know the game, they still practice. What are they doing? Striving for excellence. And so we're going to again talk about it tonight and just help you, hopefully to help you to see a couple of things here. I was reminded as I was getting ready here tonight that my wife and I, we got married in 1979. And this year, of course, will be 40 years that we've been married. And so we started very young, you know, thank you very much. But anyway, we chose to go to New Orleans for our honeymoon. We didn't know anything about New Orleans. It just sounded like, you know, we were just two kids that had hardly been out of the country, you know. You'd come in out of the country, and we'd gone to Chicago White Sox game, but we didn't drive there. And I had driven through Kansas City, but just on the freeway, you know, not on the interstate. That was it. If I'd have got off on some side roads, I'd have been, you know, I'd have been in trouble, you know what I'm saying? And so that was the only time. So we got down close to New Orleans, and we didn't know anything about it. We just went, you know, and so what we did is we got ourselves a tour guide that we went into New Orleans. We spent the time. We toured New Orleans. They showed us things. They told us things that we would have had no way of finding out in the time that we had for that. And we had a great time. It destroyed my picture of Bourbon Street. I thought it was this big wide avenue, you know, famous, you know, my God. Anyway, I found out that New Orleans is an interesting, colorful place, you know. Anybody from New Orleans? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, there's a lot of things there, isn't it? And we saw some things that were good, and we saw some things that were, I'll just label it interesting. And we had a few golly moments, you know. I mean, wow, golly, I never saw that before. You know, things like that. But what I wanted to share with you is that we had a tour guide that showed us things and told us things. And I want to tell you tonight, if you can't get a hold of anything else tonight, just get a hold of this, that God has given you an instruction book called the Bible, and He's already put together a plan for your life. But then He has assigned the Holy Spirit to be your tour guide to show you things and to tell you things that you would never find on your own. So I want to tell you something. You're in for a great ride. John chapter 16, verse 13 tells us this. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, and I always like to stop right there and say this, He has come. You know, some Christians, they act like they're waiting for Him. But I just want to tell you, He's here. In case you didn't know that, He's here. You said, how do you know He's here? Because the Bible says so. That's all I need right there. He is here. He is here. You said, well, I don't feel anything. Well, it didn't say if you can feel Him, you know He's here. Doesn't say that, does it? Now He's here. Look at your neighbor and say, He's here tonight. Isn't that right? And it says, goes on and it says this, He will guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. For He'll not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Everybody say things to come. Notice there two things that this verse tells us that the Holy Spirit will do. Number one, he will lead you into all truth, guide you into all truth, reveal truth to you. And second of all, he'll show you things to come. Notice the order in which those two things are given. In other words, first of all, he will show you the Word of God. And then number two, he will show you things to come. Why is the order important? It's because the Word of God shown to us, the revelation of the Word shown to us, provides the foundation for us so that we can deal with the future that's shown to us, so that we can know what to do with the future shown to know how to walk in that, know how to get into that, take the next step, and to walk in the things that God wants us to get into. The Word, the revelation of the Word will give you that ability to walk a step into the future. So this is important for you to know this. Listen, now some other translations, a contemporary English version says it this way, says he will guide you into full truth. Full truth, not half full, not just a little bit, but full truth. He's not holding back and saying, you can't ever say that because, well, I would like to know more about the Bible, but this is all God said I could have. Do you see what I'm saying? God's not doing that to anybody. He will show you as much as you want. All right. I can see the wheels turning in some of your people's mind. Okay, are you saying that? Yeah, that's what I said. You know, you can have as much as you want. That's what I said. That means you could choose not to. You know what I'm saying? And so then he says this. He said he will, in contemporary English version, goes on and says this, Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He'll tell you what he has heard from me. In other words, from Jesus and the Father. And he said, he will let you know, listen to this, he will let you know what's going to happen. Come on now. He'll let you know what's going to happen. You ever been surprised? How many of you enjoy surprises where you just get so surprised and you just had no clue that something was coming and all of a sudden, surprise, surprise. How many of you have ever gotten surprised and it just scared the socks off of you? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, he said he's going to let you know what's going to happen. The Weymouth translation says it this way in the last part. He said he will make known the future to you. You not understand that. He is ready to show you some things. But the bottom, but really where it comes down to is we don't really listen well. We're not really prepared to hear well. I said we, not just you. You understand what I mean? I've caught myself many times. So if I would have just listened better, I would have known more. You know what I'm saying? I, you know, there's been times when the Lord spoke to me and he said, I've been trying to tell you that for, you need to name a period of time. He said, but you hadn't been willing to. I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, see, so here's the thing. Now, we have not really understood everything here. Sometimes we're not really sure what all this means. William Barclay said this in his book on the promise of the Spirit. He said this regarding this verse. He will show you, as someone has translated it, things which are on the way. Did you know there's some things on the way? I said, there's some things on the way. God's already working on something. You thought because you didn't see anything on the prayer that you prayed a year ago you've been wondering whether anything's going to happen out of that. Is anything going to happen? Maybe God didn't hear my prayer. Well, but don't, as long as you just let those thoughts go on through, they'll bear no fruit. But you need to understand this. Listen to me. God may be it may take a while to get something set up. Because not only does God work on your request, but to answer your request, but he also has to work on other people to line up with that request. Sometimes it affects other people. So you see, listen to me. Don't give up just because you hadn't seen something, just because you hadn't seen something happen yet. Listen to me. Again, I'll say it to you this way. Things which are on the way. He's going to show you things which are on the way. Come on now. So don't let go of the dream. Don't let go of the prayer request. Don't let go of what you've asked God for. Don't let go of what's in your heart, because, say it with me, it's on the way. Now say this, the Spirit will show me what's on the way. You understand what I mean? We are not ever called to walk this Christian walk by ourselves. A.J. Gordon says it this way, that the paraclete is described as listening while he leads. What does that mean? He hears from heaven and he tells you what he heard from heaven. So there's a heavenly word to be heard. Come on now. So in our praying and in our talking with God, there's not just us talking, but there is the Holy Spirit wanting to talk as well. He wants to show you, tell you, bring to you what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have decreed in heaven. And so we need to realize that he wants to communicate that to you. Not only does he listen, but he also endeavors to lead us in the light of that. He goes on and says it this way, that as he leads, as having an ear in heaven attentive to the Father and the Son, while he extends an unseen guidance to the flock on earth. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is connected? And while he's in us, we know that. Isn't that right? But he's also in heaven. Isn't that right? So we need to realize that. Now listen to this. And then he says this. Listen to this. Of the things to come, has the Holy Spirit not secrets to impart which hitherto may have been hidden in the counsels of the Father? Wow. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Call unto me. Many times we don't ask. Many times we don't listen. But friend, we've got to learn to listen so that we can be people who know the future. Turn with me, if you would, Isaiah. And I'm going to just tell you this, that as we look in Isaiah, we're going to spend the rest of the time in Isaiah, because I've been spending a lot of time in Isaiah, but there's some interesting things there that the prophet says. And I'm just going to share something with you tonight that I feel like it's on my heart to say. It's specific to some of you, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking. So listen closely to what we're getting ready to read here. Isaiah 42, verse 9, and we'll begin. We'll just read that verse for now. He says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." Then he says this, "And new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I'll tell you of them." Let's read it again. Okay, are you ready? "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I'll tell you of them." And so we see here that God, through the prophet, is saying, look, he's speaking to Israel in captivity, and he said, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." In other words, he said, "I've told you some things in the past, and they came to pass. In the past, I told you some things that would happen, and they happened. No doubt, I've led you, I've shared with you, I've brought you this far, I've took you into the promised land, brought you out of Egypt, I've told you things. Everything I've told you has come to pass. Now listen to me. On that foundation he builds and he says, "Behold, and new things I declare." And the message is this: as surely as the former things came to pass, what I'm getting ready to do shall come to pass as well. And he says, and before they spring forth, I'm going to tell you about them. That's why we need to listen. That's why you need to listen. That's why Ecclesiastes said this in chapter 5. He said that God is in heaven and we are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Well, that'll throw a kink in some people's operation, won't it? You understand what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? And so we have to recognize them. Before they spring forth, I will tell you about them. And so, and then over in Isaiah 43, verse 18, next chapter, verse 18, he says it this way then. Then he says, seems to say just the opposite. He says, do not remember the former things. So what's he mean? What does he want me to do? Does he want me to remember former things? Or forget about it? Well, in one sense, you could remember that surely the word of the Lord has come to pass, but you can't sit around wishing for the former things to be, to come back. It will never be like it was. How many of you have ever said, I wish I could go back to where such and such a place, and I want to, I'm not asking you if you ever tried that. I have tried. There's been times when I thought, I need to go back to this. I remember how good it was. And when I got back there, I found something had changed. Either I had changed, or else I was just absolutely didn't notice some things that I'm noticing now. And so it's just not the same. And so here he says, do not remember the former thing. Don't get locked into what used to be, or consider the things of old. And don't just lock into that and say, now I want it to be the way it used to be. Some people are locked in there. He says it this way, goes on and says this. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Why does he not want you to dwell on the past or on the way things used to be in the past? Because he said, I'm doing a new thing. And if you're going to get locked into the past, you're going to be unwilling to walk in the new thing that God is doing. He said, I'll make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, the word spring forth right there, Albert Barnes says it this way. It's a metaphor taken from plants and flowers, referring to the springing up of plants to sending out or to their sending out shoots, buds, and flowers. The phrase literally means this. Listen to this. Before they begin to germinate. In other words, before they begin to germinate, that is, before they have any indications of life or growth in the plant. So the sense is that God predicts the future events before there was anything by which it might be inferred that such occurrences could take place. In other words, there was nothing in the natural that would indicate that what God said could happen. Hallelujah. Let me say this to you. Things are on the way. I said things are on the way. It may not look like it, but God said things are on the way. I said it may not feel like it, but things are on the way. Circumstances might seem to be unchanged, but things are on the way. I said things are on the way. You got to get a hold of that. You can't just lock into what used to be. Can't just lock into the way things are. But listen to me. Hear the word of the Lord, and that is this. He says this, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In the verse before, he said, I'm going to tell you about it. That's how you're going to know it. Because he's willing to tell you what's coming. Amen. And so we need to recognize that is something that's there. And he says this, and he said, I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, where there's no natural way of something happening, he's going to make a way. And where you could not go, you're going to be able to go. And where you could not be is where you can be. Come on now. And he said, and I'm going to make rivers in the desert. He said, not only am I going to make a way, but I'm going to bring provision to you, sustenance to you. I'll take care of you in that way that I want to take you. Come on now. You say, well, I just don't see how that could happen. Well, that's why the Lord wants to tell you about it. You see, you know, sometimes it just takes a little time. How many of you ever had something new shared with you? And you say, well, I just think I'm going to have some time to get used to that. But you know what? Listen to me. Listen to me. God has some things in front of you. Amen. But it's important that you take it step by step. Don't just leapfrog your way out of the will of God. You know what I'm saying? You know, just stay steady. Take the next step. How are you going to get into that new thing? Taking the next step. Taking the next step. Remember, he said this. I said this at the beginning. He said, he will guide you into all truth. Remember that? Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The reason that he would lead you, first of all, into his word is so that you can have an accurate picture, number one, of what it is that he's talking about and that you can actually know it's him. Because I can tell you that I've heard a few voices, and there are times I've heard something, some words, and I thought, well, that's the Lord, and found out later it wasn't. I just didn't know the word. Like I should have known it back then. Do you know what I'm saying? So you need the word that'll help you to take the next step. In other words, God's not ever going to tell you to do something outside of what his word or contrary to what his word says. Amen? And so we have that steadiness provided by knowing the truth. And so God's not going to take a novice, somebody that's just a new Christian, and put them into something major, into some major assignment of some sort without some type of preparation. Boy, it got quiet in here. Just real quiet all of a sudden. Wonder if it's something I said. Nobody's shouting in here now. But you know, it's the truth, isn't it? We get excited. We want to run with it. Oh, God's doing a new thing. But listen to me, you've got to get ready for it. I said, you got to get reason people. The reason people don't step into a new thing many times is because they get excited about it, but they don't ever listen. And then they don't take the steps to take that's necessary to get there. Sometimes the new thing is not an overnight thing. Isn't this fun? Isn't this exciting? I know, sit back down. It's all right. I don't know. I just like to have some fun. Amen. So we need to recognize then that God has something new that he wants to do in our lives. That is the hope that we have, is that tomorrow can be better than today. That our future will be increasingly greater and increasingly better than what the past has been, or that whereas in the past we did not follow God, but in the future we can follow God, and even if we did follow God in the past, we will be able to follow God in a greater degree and with more sensitivity and follow God more closely than we did up to now. So that would be a new thing, wouldn't it? To follow God more closely, wouldn't it? Amen. And so I can tell you guys are just with you. Well, I just thought that I had some other ideas, Brother Marvin, than that. Well, listen to me. I think the idea of getting into his word and God showing you new things in his word might be something we ought to embrace before we try to start embracing new things in our future. I might have to say that again, Eric. We might have to get excited about the revelation of the Word of God and new things in the Word before we get excited about the new things in our future. Because God is not interested in showing you things in your future, and you run off and get into excess and get deceived and get off track and get on a detour of some kind, and then he has to bring you around the mountain and finally come dragging in, you know, and you say, and bring you back to the point where you missed it and get you back on track. See, God wants you to do better than that. God has better for you than that. Amen? How many of you know God has better for you than that? Amen. I tell you the truth about it. I tell you, I've been times when I thought I was, I've seen people. I say it this way. I don't know that I've ever been at this extent, but I have seen people. I had one guy tell me, a minister told me, he said, I'm so far off track. He said, I'm at least 3 years behind what God's told me to do. 3 years. And I looked at him, and he didn't seem to bother him. I said, you better get busy. Well, you know? You know, see what I'm saying? Somehow he's doing something else. And so sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we don't get the thing, step into the things of the future that God's planned for us because we get off into something else. Friend, let's stay focused. Stay focused. Amen? Now it goes on and says this. He says here in verse 20, he says, the beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches. In other words, those things that we don't think much about will give honor to me. In other words, the things, I'll say it this way, the beasts of the field and the jackals, you know. Well, listen to me, the jackals and the ostriches, you know, those represent things that might come against you, things that might want to hinder you, things that might want to detour you, things that stand in your way. Listen to me, God is even going to turn them around and cause them to give honor to God. Come on now. I can't tell you people who were diabolically opposed to the things of God, but they've done things for me. I'm talking about, I had a man that in no stretch of the imagination was he a Christian. He's a mechanic, and he took great pride. When I was traveling on the road all the time, I had this van that I used when I wasn't flying, and so he took great pride in making sure that van was running so that I had something dependable to go out on the road, and I would talk to him about the Lord. God is causing people and moving things around, things that are diametrically opposed to the plan of God and what he wants you to do. He's orchestrating. He's moving that around for you. He wants to show you what he's got in mind. Don't get upset when somebody stands in the way. That's not too big for God. And he says here, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. And then he says this. Listen to this. I want to switch over to this. You need to know what you ought to be doing when God shows you things. Here's the thing. He said this. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. You ought to be praising God that he's showing you the things of the future, the things of the Word of God. Praise ought to be on your lips day and night. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be praising God. You ought not be messing around and saying, well, bless God, well, and start bad-mouthing the day before you discover what God's put in it for you. You know what I'm saying? No, listen to me. You ought to be praising God. You ought to be praising God for the new things. You ought to be praising God for the things that he's done for you up till now. And thank God that he has done some things for you and so forth. Thank God for what he's done. But I want to tell you something. He's going to do something new, something more, something greater. And you ought to be praising God that it's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Come on now. Go back over to Isaiah chapter 42. And in verse 10, it says, he said it this way. You remember in verse 9, he says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song. and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountain. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastland. In other words, everywhere people ought to be praising God, shouting to God, singing a new song. Glory to God. Lifting their voice, declaring and praising God and worshiping God, thanking God. The new thing's coming. Something new is on the way. That which we haven't seen is coming. Hallelujah. A new thing. Excuse me. You know what? I was standing right there. I'll take a drink of water and kind of look down so nobody thinks I'm looking at you. But the Lord just spoke to me over there. Some of you have been so locked in for so long with where you're at that you're not even lifting your head to think about the possibilities of what God has for you. But God says, lift your head. Lift your head. Nobody is down so far that God can't lift them up. You say, Brother Yoder, you don't know. I may not, but I know God can do something for you that may be impossible in the natural, but he specializes in turning things around. He specializes in bringing you people, his people up. Oh, my friend, you ought to start. And that's how come some of you are slow in praising God is because you've been so, the situation's been same old for a long time. But let me tell you something. You say, well, I don't have anything to praise God about. Well, listen to me. The fact is that our praise doesn't rest upon our circumstances. It ought to rest upon what God said in his word. And so I ought to be praising God no matter what I see, what I feel. I ought to be praising God. Here a while back, I went to the hospital to do a hospital visit. This guy was in excruciating pain. I asked him, what level of pain do you have? He said, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 12. But when I got into the hospital room, he was not watching the cooking show. He was not watching, Gunsmoke or anything like that. The TV wasn't even on. He had his Bible laying across his chest, and he had his eyes closed, and he was praising God. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, but he walked out of that hospital when they said he couldn't walk out, and he praised his way into a healing, health, and wholeness. Today, he's healthy and whole. Listen to me. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah chapter 17? He said, the prophet said, heal me, O Lord, and I'm healed. Save me, and I'm saved, and you are my praise. So you ought to say it this way. Lord, you healed me, and so I'm healed. And you saved me, so I'm saved. So now you are my praise. I'm making you my praise. I'm praising you, not because of the way I feel, but because you said, I'm healed. You said I'm healed. You said I'm healed. You said I'm healed. I'm praising you. I'm praising you. I'm praising you. I'm praising you. I'm worshiping you because you said I'm healed. Amen. Ha ha ha. So what should we do when we see these things and we start hearing that God's wanting to do new things, more things, greater things? It ought to drive us right into the throne room of God, praising God. Listen to me, I'm telling you the truth about it. Some of us, our level of praise hasn't even flipped the needle in the meter yet, because we've done so little of it. You say, well, I do every time they start the worship. Listen to me. We're not really talking about that. Thank God for that. I appreciate good music. But if I waited until I got to church to praise God, I wouldn't have much going for me. I'd probably be wandering around out there singing some stupid country western song, singing about losing my dog and losing my wife and losing my house. Instead, you know, thank God I've got it saved and now I can sing it backwards and get it all back. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, you understand. But so, you know what? You ought to be praising God in your pickup truck. You ought to be praising God in the vehicle you're driving. You ought to be praising God, you know, with your eyes open while you're driving, of course, you know. You understand that. Some of you, you know, you got to tell them that, you know. And then, and you know, and if you're praising and worshiping God, at least keep one hand on the steering wheel. It just makes few people around you feel better. Amen. Somebody ought to praise God. Somebody ought to lift their voice and praise God. Why? Because God's still working on us. God's still working on our behalf. God's doing a new thing. What He said He'd do, He'd do. That which He has done in the past, we ought to praise Him for that. But we ought to praise Him for what He is doing and what He is now doing. You ought to stand on your feet and just worship Him and praise Him and magnify His name because He's worthy to be praised. Oh, He is a wonderful God. He is magnifying. He's magnifying Himself in your life. He's making Himself bigger. He's enlarging His work. He's doing greater things than what we've ever had before. So don't get locked in. Don't get locked in to what has been. Don't get locked in to what it is the way it is. But keep praising Him and keep thanking Him because He's wanting to do a new thing. Glory to God. Come on, somebody ought to praise the Lord. 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 Come on. Don't just do it because I'm telling you to do it, but somebody ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have been believing God for doors to open up, but I want to tell you something. You can praise those doors open. Some of you have been believing God for jobs. I'm going to tell you, you can praise yourself right into a job. But I'm going to tell you something. It won't be according to the natural. There'll be something supernatural happen as you're praising God. Something supernatural will happen. Something will open up for you that'll help you in a mighty way. It'll help you to be a blessing. Listen to me. Some of you, I'm going to tell you this right now. Some of you, listen to this. God wants to use you in a new way. God wants to use you in a new way at a new level. And some of you, it's not something that you're getting. It's something that will flow through you. A greater flow. It may be finances. It may be anointing. It may be this or that. It may be love. Some people need help with their love walk. You know, we know the love of God's been deposited in us, but sometimes some people have difficulty letting it flow. And so you ought to be praising God. There's a flow of God that God wants to get you into, that He wants to get something through you. And while that's flowing through you, there's some things that will stick to you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship Him. He's worthy to be praised in this place. He's worthy to be praised in this place. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just worship Him right where you are. Just out of your heart. Just act like nobody else is here. Just you and God. Just worship Him out of your heart. Father, we thank You. We worship You and magnify Your name. Worship You and magnify Your name. You're such a great God. You're so faithful to all of us. You're so good to all of us. Oh, Father God, we thank You. Oh, how much you care for us. You make each one of us your personal concern. You watch over us carefully. You take care of us. You from morning to night and even during the night, you watch over us and you working in the things that concern us. And so, Father, we thank you. You show us new revelation in your word, new understanding of your word, that we may be able to have a greater foundation so that we may be able to walk in greater things. Ha ha. Yep, understanding comes in the name of Jesus. Oh, we worship you and praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And those that desperately need circumstances changed, circumstances change. You know, just you worship him, and as you praise him, you just keep worshiping him and praising him. Just worship. You say, how long do I need to worship and praise him? Well, worship him and praise him until you think more about him, about God, than you do your circumstances. Listen to me. That's how you know you're getting over into the Spirit. Yes, you listen to me, because you see, sometimes it takes a while to get past our mind. So just keep worshiping God. You say, well, it doesn't seem to make much sense. We're really not going by according to what your mind thinks. We're going by what the Word of God says. The Bible says we ought to praise Him. We ought to worship God. We ought to magnify His name. We ought to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving and have that on our lips at all times. This is the will of God, that in everything we give thanks to God. Glory to God. How do we do that? We give praise to God. We give honor to God. We magnify His name. Did you know that when you worship God, the things of God become bigger in your mind and in your heart and in your life? The more you worship God, the greater your God will seem to be and become in your life and in your thoughts and in your believing. Your capacity to believe will expand. So you ought to be worshiping. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. What does that mean? You ought to get a bigger picture of Him. How do you get that? In worship, you get a bigger picture of Him. And you need to get into the situation where you're worshiping God, and there it seems that in worship and praise, there comes this giant magnifying glass that you can look through and see the things of God in a new way, and in a new possibilities can be seen, new ways can be seen, new resources can be seen, healing can be seen. Riches can be seen. Jobs can be seen. Opportunities can be seen. That which you need can be seen. That which is spoken to you in times past, but you hadn't been able to see it yet, you'll see it in a fresh way, in a new way. And so it shall be that as you worship me and praise me, you'll see a new way. You'll look a new way. You'll see the rivers that are flowing, and you'll see the way that's made that was way beyond the natural and the impossible. So rejoice, 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 rejoice. Glory to God, glory to God. Sing something if you would, please. Let's worship Him, magnify Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Worship Him.
God is doing great things.
Yes. I'm going to be bold and tell you this. If you got some kind of hearing problem, you better come running down here real quickly. We don't have a lot of time, but if you got a hearing problem, you get down here real quickly. The anointing's on me to pray for that right now. Ushers, come with me and get this done quickly. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healed in the... Healed. Healed. Healed in the name of Jesus. healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Yep. Whew. Yep. Yep. I command that to come off of you in the name of Jesus right now. Healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Right? Over there it flows. In the name. In the name. Command that to come off in Jesus' name. Healed in the name of Jesus. 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 I said healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. I said healed. Healed. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name. Healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. 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 I said healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the... I said healed in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Let's worship Him and praise Him. Healed in the name of Jesus. I said healed in the name of Jesus. Healed. I said to command that to come off of you right now. In Jesus' name. Healed. In Jesus' name. There it is. Hallelujah. Just worship Him and praise Him. Somebody ought to praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. Those of you that are up here, can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference?
I'm not sure, but I'm praying.
In the name of Jesus. That young man that came down here. Where's the young man that came down here? Yeah. Can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference in your hearing? Can you tell? Are you hearing better? Huh? Well, come here. Come here quickly. Anybody else? Can anybody, anybody that we just prayed for? You can tell a difference now in your hearing. What was wrong with your ears? But you can hear now?
Yes.
You can hear now?
Yes.
You couldn't hear before? You could hear. Could you hear before?
I can hear now.
But you can hear now?
Yes.
Just lift your hands up to the Lord. Thank you. Listen to me. I'm going to prophesy to you. This is just the first thing that God is going to do for you. God's got many more things for you. There's the anointing flowing. In the name of Jesus. Yep, take it. Just run with it in Jesus' name. Mark my words. God's going to use you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him. He is worthy of being praised. You say, well, what about those who haven't seen a difference yet? Well, it's not over yet. Things are on the way. Remember what I said? Things are on the way. But you got to start somewhere. I said you got to start somewhere, don't you? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Prayer team, you can come if you would, please. We're going to pray. What about you? Does it make any difference?
Praise God.
You can hear now?
Yeah.
His tubes were clogged up for a year. And he said it's clear now. Worship Him. Praise Him. Magnify Him. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. So what are you going to go home and do? Come on, what are you going to go home and do? What are you going to do? Amen. You know, one of these days I might be able to quit preaching on that. You know when I'm going to be able to preach on it, quit preaching on that? It's when we get the level up where it needs to be. I'm convinced God has some mighty things that He wants to do, but it'll come on the heels of a river of praise that flows up to the throne room of God. Oh, He wants His people to be praising Him, drawing close to Him in worship and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything else, ladies, you come over here to these ladies, and guys, come over here to these guys. They'll pray with you and believe God with you and pray the prayer of faith over you. And so if you're here first time here tonight, right now, the connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to get that gift out in the West Lobby. And let's give them, the first-time guests, a hand as they go. And thank God that they were here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much for being so attentive tonight and for what you're listening well. And so, I was able to get where I needed, where the Lord showed me tonight. So, you know, that's a cooperative effort, you know, between the minister and the people, you know, and God in the middle of it. So thank you so much for being so attentive to that. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And so we thank God for that. And so look forward to seeing you. Have a great week. What are you going to do? Amen. Amen. God bless you.